I wanted to give a very brief outline, really just part one, of the how-tos of Shemitah. I need to give a few introductions, which I am known for in truth or as an exaggeration, but I am known for giving long introductions and shorter shiurim, but in this case I really do think that it's brief. I do have to just introduce, number one, that these outlines are intended for you. In other words, for a woman at Shalavim for Women, and not if you're a homeowner, we're not going to deal with issues of pruning on Shemitah and harvesting during the Shemitah. We're going to talk about halachot that are related specifically to you. Number two, this is only part one. We're going to have further discussion, which I'll talk about at the end. Whatever we don't cover, you'll see. Number three, this is not the usual way that I love giving shiurim. This is really, the attempt is to be very practical. We're not really discussing the philosophy, which we will in later dates. We're not even talking about so many sources or even looking at many sources. It's really just trying to be the basic of the basics, how-tos to keep Shemitah this year. We are phenomenally fortunate. You are phenomenally fortunate to be able to keep Shemitah. It's a zechut, it's a privilege. It's an honor. Yes, it includes some, one could call it inconvenience, but I'm pretty sure that every single one of us would be inconvenienced a little bit in order to profit, I don't know, $10 million. But yeah, it's a little, you have to, you know, buy your food a little differently, but don't worry, I'll give you $10 million at the end. I think every single one of us would be happy to do that. And we're getting way more than that sum of money. We have the zechut to keep a mitzvah, and that's why I wanted to share with you that we're going to try to avoid using words like, and it's going to be this whole year, you know, you may text us or call and or ask us in school, and you may say, does this have a problem with Shemitah? I don't want to use the word, does it have a problem with Shemitah? Not a problem. It's Kedushat Shvi'it. There are opinions which say that it is a mitzvah to eat produce that has Kedushat Shvi'it. There's even one opinion which we happen to not paskin like, but there is an opinion which says you have to wash your hands before you eat any food that has Kedushat Shvi'it. And we're not going to paskin like that, but just to get an idea of what an honor it is, what an honor it is to be able to eat Kedushat Shvi'it. You talk to your families if they happen to be in Chutz Laretz, they don't have that honor. We do. They don't have that privilege, and we do. So yes, it's going to require us to kind of change our focus a little bit and to change our shift a little bit, but we'll do it, Emir Tzashem, and Emir Tzashem will get used to it, so much so that we'll be able to go throughout this coming year, Emir Tzashem, really enjoying the zechut of following Shemitah. You have the zechut. You're lucky the year you were born, able to come here during this time. It's a real zechut. So you'll see in the outline which I laid out. Oh, yeah, and I also shall say, you'll see at the top of the outline, it says, remember, this is only an outline. You must get used to and feel comfortable with asking competent halachic authorities any questions that you have. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. It just takes getting used to. Even people who have been in Israel before and have experienced Shemitah are still getting used to it, and will get used to it. A, because these halachot only happen once every 7 years, but B, because the facts on the ground, excuse the pun, change every 7 years based on the way that the agricultural system in Israel and what they are producing in Israel and what they're not producing in Israel and how they're producing it. The halachot of lettuce, for example, which I'm not even going to get to until for a few more minutes, are entirely different today than they were 21 or 28 or 35 years ago. entirely different. So even people who've been here for 40 years have to readjust to the changing reality of a robust, Baruch Hashem, healthy agricultural community that you and I are a part of starting now. So we'll get started, and don't be ashamed to ask questions as the year goes on. I'm really going to try to keep it as basic as I can, and we're going to try to get used to it as time goes on. Here we go. The first question that we have to ask, again, you'll see I'm not going to the sources of, you know, Vishavta Aretz, and just the basics. I guess I feel like I'm sounding like I am apologizing, and I guess I am, which they say you're not supposed to speak and apologize before you speak, so I'm sorry if I was apologizing, but I do want you to understand that this is not the normal way we're going to learn, but we do need to gather information. Here we go. In order to figure out whether the food that I am eating, the food that I am buying, the food that I am eating at someone else's home, the food that I am eating here in school, in order to determine the kind, whether it has kiddushat shvi'it, the first question we have to ask is which produce bears kiddushat shvi'it. And that's already item number two. Which produce? And first we'll start with which type of produce? Which type of produce? So that's Roman numeral two, number one, the type of produce. Kedushat Shvi'it applies only to food, produce. That only applies to produce that are grown specifically for human or animal consumption. It could be consumption in terms of eating. It could be consumption in terms of anointing. It could be consumption in terms of makeup. Could be consumption in terms of lighting a fire, if there is that possibility. It could be consuming, like for example, scented flowers. We're going to talk, we're going to have a special unit just on flowers. The recommendation is going to, we have to be careful if we buy flowers for our Shabbos hosts because of that. Kedushat Shvi'it does not apply, for example, to anything that's used in building. If I'm going to use wood to build a house, I don't have to worry about, and it was grown for that purpose, I don't have to worry about the house that I'm in has wood that's, or furniture that was used, you know, came from Shemitah year. I don't have to worry about flowers that don't have a scent, even though we will see practically most flowers do have a scent. So we're talking primarily food and other ways that this produce is consumed. That's important to keep in mind when you're shopping, or you're in a restaurant, or you're in school, or you're at someone else's home. Question two, this is a very important question, and that is, we must determine, so we're at two, Roman numeral two, number two. We have to figure out the time of growth. When did this produce grow? And that's going to be important, and we're going to spend a little time on this right now. So let's talk first about vegetables. Vegetables are the easiest if you're a farmer. And then we'll talk about us who are consumers. We who are consumers. Vegetables go, and they go, batar likita. Likita means harvesting or picking. If I pick I don't care when it was planted, I don't care when it grew, vegetables. I don't care when it was watered. I go only by likita, in English we call it likita, or harvesting, picking. If I pick a cucumber the day before Rosh Hashanah, right now, has no kedushat shvi'it. If I pick a cucumber the day after the Shemitah year, the day after Shemitah year, which means a year and a couple weeks from now, I don't care, it grew all Shemitah long, it grew all the seventh year. If I pick a vegetable during the eighth year, it has no kedushat shvi'it. Vegetables, that's the easiest one. Now, it's a little harder because when I go to a supermarket to buy a cucumber, I don't know when it was picked. But I'm just talking first in the basic halacha. Vegetables go after the picking. So far, so good. The next step is, let's say, olives, grapes, grain, kidney oats. These kind of halachot, the halacha for these kinds of produce, we follow shlish gidulo. Shlish gidulo. One third, that's the way we paskin. One third of the grain, wheat, barley, grapes, beans, rice, let's say, olives. We have to find out when it grew to a third of its growth. Now I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't know when that is. Because olives grow a third different times than a grape grow a third different times than rice grows a third. Number two, even if I did know on a calendar, I don't know when this particular grape grew its third, or this olive grew its third, or this wheat grew its third. Follow? We're just talking in the basic halacha right now. Shlish gidulo. So, if a grape developed, grew one to one third in the sixth year, I don't care when you pick it, it has no kedusha. If it grew a third during the seventh year, then I may pick it in the eighth year, and it still has kedusha shvi'it. That's an important, important point. Many of you who are sitting here feel so fortunate that you are going to be able to eat kedushat shvi'it, and you are fortunate. But there is going to be some produce that you're going to have to come back shana bet in order to eat kedushat shvi'it. Because it can grow, let's say, a third of its growth in the seventh year, Rosh Hashanah next year, we're still going to have Baruch Hashem kedushat shvi'it in many things. And again, you and I may not know when that happens. I'll come back to that really momentarily. So far we mentioned vegetables, we mentioned olives, grapes, grain, and kidney oats. The third category, I am on 2, 2, 3, is fruit. Fruit is a little more challenging. Fruit, we go after chanata. Chet, nun, tet, hey. Chanata in English is chanata. And chanata means the formation of the fruit. The formation of the fruit. When does that happen? We paskin like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, excuse me, who also says this is a shlish. This is a third. The basic formation of apple, orange, one third, we call it chanata though. The formation of the fruit itself. Tosfot says, and other Rishonim say, that it's really when the fruit becomes recognizable, when the blossom falls off. Important to know, we paskin like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that we'll call it shlish again. So again, you can go into a supermarket a week after Rosh Hashanah and buy an apple, and it will have no kedushat shvi'it. It could have been picked that morning, and it will still have no kedushat shvi'it. You follow? Because the chanata, the formation, definitely happened this time of year. You know, in the sixth year. On the other hand, you could go into a supermarket the week after Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, and it's almost for sure that the apple will have kedushat shvi'it, depending on other factors which we're going to talk about. So far, so good? Vegetables, we go after harvesting, when you actually pick it out of the ground. Olives, grapes, grains, kidney oats, we say shlish gidulo. We have to figure out when that is. And fruit, we'll say shlish also, but the proper term is chanata or chanata. The last point is part two, number two. Four, and that is flowers. Flowers is a big deal because you may buy flowers for your Shabbos table, for a host, and you have to realize that flowers may have kedusha. You have to be careful who you buy it from, because we're going to see momentarily that produce that has kedusha has to be treated properly. Flowers, not all flowers, as I said, have kedusha to eat, but if for those flowers that do, we follow lakita, which is picking. Am I going too fast? Yeah. So, yeah, Kedushat Shvi'it means that there is a certain sanctity, a certain holiness in these fruit, in these vegetables, in this rice. And we've got to treat it properly. Some people say we have a mitzvah to eat them. One opinion, Rav Kook says you have to wash your hands before you. Again, I'm only saying that we don't do that. But I'm only saying that because it has to be treated with Kedushah. What is Zechut? What a world we live in, what a country we live in, that we can take Kedushah and literally eat it. You can eat it. You can eat everything I said. We have to treat it properly. And we're gonna share tonight still, Emir Tzashem, how to treat it properly. But we have to realize that an apple has to be treated like an apple properly. We don't waste it. We don't misuse it. But if it has Kedushat Shvi'it, we have special other halachot associated with it, which we're going to talk about right now. But I'm just trying to figure out how to determine whether these fruit or vegetables or other produce has Kedushat. Does that make sense? Mitzuyan. So we said so far that in order to determine whether certain produce has kedushat shvi'it, we must A, ask the type of produce. We talked about that already. We also had to talk about number two, the time of growth. We also have to talk about the place of growth. Where was it grown? Before I say that, though, I mentioned that we don't know, I don't know, when a grape in general grows. I also don't know whether this specific grape in this specific supermarket grows. And so we're going to hand out, not now, and we're going to post, and if you want, we can email it to you, a calendar. And the calendar is called the Calendar of Kedushat Shvi'it for Common Fruits, Vegetables, and Grains. I'm going to talk about this at the end if there's time. Another secret, I have not memorized this chart. First of all, I only put fruit and vegetables and grains that are common, that you may, I don't know if they're all common, but I'm assuming that these are ones that you may or potentially buy in a supermarket. So I have to keep this in my pocket. I have to regularly look. I'm going to post it over there. And there are others. I just translated this into English and whittled it down to ones that I think were a little bit more appropriate, like a banana. I have to know. If I'm buying a banana in the shuk, for example, and there's no certificate, let's say, should I be concerned that this has kedusha or not? I don't memorize it. I won't know either. I need to look, and it says, banana, Rosh Hashanah already. I have to think about Rosh Hashanah already. Banana, for our purposes, is considered a vegetable. So I have to figure out that once we pick up a banana, it might have kedusha, and I have to treat it as such. What does that mean? We're going to come back to that. So just, even though you and I may not memorize when various things have their kedushah, lettuce, onions, peas, peppers, mandarin, nectarine, oranges, persimmon. I guess people eat these things. Pomelos. Have you eaten a pomelo yet? Oh, Hashem is amazing. Watermelon. I put quince on here. Not sure why I put that on there. I think it's a good Scrabble word, but I assume maybe people will buy quince. We're going to come back to this in a moment, but just I'm saying, you don't have to memorize. It'll be a chart available for you. We'll come back to that also. So, to determine whether this fruit, vegetable, whether this produce has kedusha, we had to ask, the type of growth, we had to ask the time of growth, we also have to ask the place of growth. Where did it grow? So first of all, we paskin, the Torah tells us that Shemitah is a mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz. Anything, any produce grown in chutz la'aretz does not have kedushat shvi'it. And so you're going to see on some of these charts, for example, here. For example, I'm trying to think of a good example here. Hold on a second. Here, rice. Rice is a grain. It follows all the halachot. However, most all of the rice that you're going to buy in Israel comes from Chutz La'aretz. And so rice never has Kedushat Shvi'it, at least not 57-75. Soy. If you ever buy soy, soy as an ingredient does not grow in Israel. And so it cannot have Kedushat Shvi'it. So first of all, it has to be grown in Israel. It's also important to say that there are places, we're not going to go into this because it's really complex, and we do want to go through it in the future, but not tonight. Believe it or not, there are certain places in the state of Israel, that do not have Kedushat Shvi'it. So the Arava, for example, many things are grown in the Arava, in the Arava Valley, and it doesn't have the Kedushah, so to speak, necessary for Kedushat Shvi'it, and that's going to be some of our produce as well. Three, and I hope we're going to get a chance to see this year, but not immediately, it has to be grown, even though it's in Israel, it has to be grown in Israeli soil, in Israel soil. So for example, lettuce, much if not all of the lettuce that you're going to buy, this is what I hinted to earlier, much if not all of the lettuce that you're going to buy is grown hydroponically. Everyone know what hydroponics is? Hydroponically means it's not grown in the soil for a variety of reasons. One, to avoid bugs. Two, as the way they're watered, are literally grown above the ground. They're not in the soil of Israel. No Kedushat Shvi'it. Now those of us who are searching Kedushah wish that it was, but it is more convenient as far as bugs are concerned, let's say, in terms of lettuce. So it has to be grown in Israel, it has to be grown in Israeli soil. Yafeh? Okay. We have one more item to think about every single time that we want to know whether this has Kedushah or not, and that is, we ask the type of produce. We asked the time of growth. We ask the place of growth. We also have to ask who owns the land. This is a very, very important point for tonight, but also for the future when we talk about Heter Mechira. If a non-Jew owns the land, there are non-Jews who are farmers in Israel. And so it's a very, very important machloket between the Beit Yosef and the Mabit. The Beit Yosef, you know, Rav Yosef Karo, author also of the Shulchan Aruch Yafei, he also has a She'ilotu Tshuvot called Avkat Rochel, and he argues on the Mabit, Rav Yosef Mitrani, and they argue as to what happens if produce is grown by non-Jews. Yes? Rav Yosef Karo says that there is no Kiddushah if a non-Jew owns the land that it grows. Not worked, owns. Maybe worked by Jews, maybe worked by non-Jews. But if a non-Jew owns the land, it has no Kiddushah. The many others hold like that as well. The Mabit, as I said, Rav Moshe Mitrani, paskins that there is Kiddushah. I'm sharing this with you because that machloket has not been decided. And so, anybody who follows the Chazon Ish, which is people in and around Bnei Brak, and I'm going to surprise you, Kibbutz Shalavim. Kibbutz Shalavim, Yeshivat Shalavim, Paskin, when it comes to mitzvot ha-tliot ba'aretz, Paskin like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, Paskin like the Mabit. And he said that produce grown by non-Jews still has Kedushat Shvi'it. It's okay. But everybody else, and certainly the Minhag Yerushalayim, is the father of Yosef Karo. Which is to say, that produce owned by non-Jews, I'm sorry, produce grown on land owned by non-Jews has no kedusha to eat. Rabbi Yaakovson, who you will, Amir Tzashem, meet this coming Thursday night, Amir Tzashem, and you'll meet him again on Rosh Hashanah. It's a tough shaila. We are shalavim for women. Do we paskin like the kibbutz shalavim, which follows the Chazon Ish? Or do we follow Yushalayim? Rav Yaakovson paskin 7 years ago, and also this year, I sat with him and asked him some certain questions that I'm sharing with you. Rav Yaakovson paskins that we shalavim for women in Yerushalayim follow Minhag Yerushalayim, which is the Rav Yosef Karo, and he paskins that kedush, that produce grown by on land owned by non-Jews has no kedushat shvi'it. I'm sharing this with you because Bezat Hashem, in a short while, we are going to be going to Yeshivat Shalavim. It's going to be Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be Shemitah already. It's going to be Yom Kippur. We're not going to eat on Yom Kippur, but before and after. And when we're there, we are going to follow the Chazon Ish, and that's going to be very interesting. We're going to have to get used to it. But okay, here we go. So ends section number 2. We now have a general idea, not exact yet, we have a general idea that certain produce could have kedushat shvi'it, depending on a number of factors, and certain produce may not have kedushat shvi'it. We didn't memorize it, we don't have a chart, and by the way, we're going to talk about this, the places you buy fruit from will have a special te'udah to tell you how they purchased their produce. We'll come back to that, not tonight. That's going to be the next time. But the question was asked, and it's an important question. Okay, I'm in someone's home, and now I am eating carrots, lettuce, rice, we talked about already, and I know that these certain products have kedushat shvi'it. The products, the produce, where they were grown, when they were grown, / when they were picked, who owned the land. Now the question is, what do I do? How do I treat kedushat shvi'it? And we are at Roman numeral 3. We'll see how far we get, Bezat Hashem. Roman numeral 3 is laws regarding kedushat shvi'it. You should know that produce with kedushat shvi'it, and we have to determine, we already are going to get used to determining whether this food has kedushat shvi'it. But if I tell you this has kedushat shvi'it, now what? How do I treat them? So they are subject to some laws mina Torah and some laws mida Rabbanan. Number 1, hefker. We have an obligation, the owner of the produce, if it is kedushat, and if it has kedushat shvi'it, must be ownerless. And I am blessed. Hashem, for some reason, I'm sure there was no mistake, but for some reason, Hashem enables me to live in Israel, and I have a yard with pomegranates and kumquats and oranges and some kind of mint and some other spices that we seem to use once in a while, and olives. I like them because they're from Hashem, but I care for other things when I'm choosing what to eat, but I love them very much. I have to declare them ownerless. I have to say they don't belong to me. And literally anybody is allowed to walk into my yard and pick food. They're not allowed to ruin my tree. They're not allowed to steal my bike when they come to my backyard. They're not allowed to ruin my yard. They're, even when they're picking the orange, they're not allowed to ruin the tree that has to be able to grow again. It does not belong to me. It's important for you to know. It's not 1,000% relevant to you because you are going to acquire them, and we'll figure out how in a moment. You are going to acquire some food with kedushat shvi'it. So once you acquire it, you don't have to call it hefker. We're going to come back to that in a moment. It's important for you to know. Next is biur. You know the word biur from biur chametz. Biur chametz means getting rid of my chametz. Well, I also have to get rid of my kedushat shvi'it produce from my house, which again is another form of hefker. This does apply, it may apply to you. In a moment, I'm going to see why it may not. But theoretically, it applies to you. If you buy oranges with, some people say oranges. Everyone with me though? Okay, if you buy oranges that have kedushat shvi'it, there will come a time where you may have to declare them hefker, even though they're in your room, even though they're in your refrigerator. We're not going to go into it now, but these two halachot refer to the hashkafa of Shemitah. A farmer has every reason to believe that he or she owns everything and does everything. I'm the one that shvitzes, I'm the one that invests, I'm the one that works, I'm the one that, you know, takes the risk, and all this fruit belongs to me. And once in a while, once every 7 years, similar to Shabbos, but this is Shabbat Haaretz, I say, you know what? It's really not mine. And we are going to meet, in Mirtz Hashem, a farmer who lives in Shalavim, who works in the kibbutz, who is learning Torah this whole year. They're literally not working the fields. And as we visit the yeshiva and we're going to see their fields, they're literally, the English expression is they lie fallow. I have no idea what that means. I think it just means they don't work, right? That's, you know, the Hebrew better than the English. They're just not working. They're not working the field. We have to remind ourselves. So biur is another form of hefker, but the timing is important. As long as there are watermelons in the field, I can have watermelons in my house. As soon as watermelons stop growing and stop being picked in the field, I can't own watermelon in my house. Same is true with lemons, same is true with onions, same is true with anything that could have kedushat shvi'it. As long as they are in the field, I can keep them in my house. As long as they're not in the field, I can't keep them in my house. When is that? I don't know. But luckily we have a chart that will help us remember when biur is required. So I'm telling you now that anybody who wants to buy a strawberry, already next Elul, when we come back. I didn't know how to hint that, but I was a little bit the king of subtlety over here. Subtlety of a 10-pound hammer. But when you come back in Elul, I'm warning you now that you need to do biur on your strawberries. I didn't memorize that. I looked on the chart. It says Elul 5775. Strawberries are no longer found in the fields beginning Elul 5775. That's a year from now. We're Elul 5774. Okay. It's important halacha. It goes to the hashkafa. What did I just say? No, for this, for strawberries, it's the end of the year. I have to do biur. I have to get rid of it. Hefker. A year from now. Is that what I said? Yeah. Yeah, but biur can happen all year long. Once, because produce, let me rewind a second. We are not used to, at least the way I grew up, you guys are used to going to a supermarket 12 months a year and buying blueberries, strawberries, pineapple, right? You come here, it's not so common to get strawberries all year round. In my house, strawberries are a delicacy. We can't get them all the time. It's a delicacy. They don't grow 12 months a year. So whenever they stop being grown in the field, I've got to get rid of them. I have to make them hefker in my home. And I don't know when this is. I just look at the charts and I'll try to remind you as things come up. You'll also go, hold on 1 second. I just want to say one thing about biur. It's a very important halacha that relates to you in your specific situation. Who knows where you'll be 7 years from now? Mirtz Hashem, he'll be here. And you'll have a family in Mirtz Hashem. But this year, if I'm not mistaken, you're single. And it's the following important halacha applies to you, I think. The Mishnah Paskins and the Rambam Paskins, that even when biur arrives, let's say with the case of strawberries, 5775 Elul, the next Elul, you are allowed to keep enough of that produce for 3 meals for everybody in your house. You follow? If I have, I'm just going to make up numbers, please don't quote me. If everybody in my house eats 10 strawberries at a meal, so I'm allowed to have 30 strawberries for each person in my house. It's a lot of strawberries. Which means that I don't know how big your refrigerators are, I do actually, you're not going to have enough strawberries, I don't think. Maybe you will. So it's possible that the halacha may not apply to you. It may not even apply to me. The big time it applies for us is really like wine. People buy a lot of, people buy wine and it has gushat shviit, you know, people sometimes do buy wine in large quantities, then you have to think about it. But it may not apply to you in terms of biur, and therefore it's important to know, but it's the charts are there in case, depending on how much. Some people, you know, buy large quantities, especially of dry goods, and so you may have to think about it as time goes on. Next. You said a question? I answered it?
Okay.
Next. Number 3, kilkul. This is incredibly important. It is one of the two most important. I back up. I want to change the word important and replace it with the word relevant. This is all important. But this is incredibly relevant to you. This may be one of two most relevant halachot with regard to Kedushat Shviit in your life this coming year. It is asur. You must treat food that has Kedushat Shviit properly. It has Kedushah. You wouldn't misuse tefillin, and you wouldn't misuse, a Sefer Torah, and I'm not equating them, but they all have Kedushah. You are not allowed to destroy actively. You are not allowed to actively destroy any food that has Kedushat Shviit. That's important. Because that means that if I'm eating an apple that has Kedushat Shviit, eat it, enjoy it. But unless I really eat it down to the core, let's say I eat some of it and it's not to my liking, I cannot throw it away in a regular garbage can or a rubbish bin, as we say. I'm not allowed to. Because if I throw it away in a regular garbage can, then all the other stuff and junk and garbage in the garbage can are going to actively destroy the apple sooner than otherwise, than nature would take its course. I can't throw it, hold on one second, I can't throw it in a regular garbage can because what I just did is I actively threw the apple, into a place that will destroy the apple faster and quicker and sooner than otherwise. And so we are going to talk about, not tonight, it's literally the topic of the next discussion. We are going to discuss, I see that I don't have time, we are going to discuss what I need to do when I am sitting down and I'm eating a meal with Kedushah. The attempt is going to be made to finish everything, but if I can't or don't want to or it doesn't taste good, I'm going to have to throw it away in a different bin, in a different garbage receptacle. I don't even want to use garbage as the word. I'm going to put it in a different pach shmitah, a shmitah can, so that they will rot and get destroyed on their own naturally, but I didn't cause it actively. If it's a little bit unclear, I'm going to ask you to wait, because we're going to go through specific and practical examples. It's going to apply to everywhere you eat for Shabbos. It's going to apply upstairs in Arachat HaRochel. How we need to treat, and what do I do if I have some food with Kedushat Shviit and some food without? We'll talk about that. What do I do if I don't know? We'll talk about that. How often do I change the Pach Shmita, the Shmita receptacle? We'll talk about that. I'm just talking in general right now. You may not destroy. You also, number 4, something called mekach u'memkar. You are also, and this is relevant to you as well, you are not allowed to buy and sell food, produce, with Kedushat Shviit in the regular way. There's a few reasons for this. Perhaps we want to make it cheaper. We want to treat it with special kedusha. We're also afraid of what happens to that money. If I buy food that has kedushat shvi'it, then the money acquires kedusha as well, and that causes a whole host of issues to think about. And so we do not buy and sell produce with kedushat shvi'it in the regular way. What is the not regular way? I'm sorry, I got to do that next time also. This is really the basics of the basics. So this is going to be review. If I had 2 hours, I would just do it right now. But I just want to get ideas out there, and we're going to do practical examples later. I want to share two halachot midrabanan. Also very relevant. I'm going to start with number two because it's shorter, and that is export. So you'll say, why does that affect me? None of us are exporters. Well, guess what? You may be. When there's an isur midrabanan to take food or produce that has kedushat shvi'it to chutz la'aretz. Why does that affect you? If any of you are going to chutz la'aretz for Pesach, for example, and you have a banana or an apple in your bag that has kedushat shvi'it, you may not take it out of Eretz Yisrael. It's important to remember, but we've got some time for that. The more relevant, immediately relevant, is a word you're going to see over and over and over again. That's number one. And that is called Sfichin. Sfichin. The word Sefach is a modern Hebrew word, but it actually comes all the way back from the Mishnah days. And it means, don't write this down yet, it means afterwards. So, in a document that you guys are going to sign Pesach time when you're selling your chametz, there's going to be a main document, and there's going to be an appendix. What do you think that's called in Hebrew? A nispach. It's after the document. Sfichin is translated into English as aftergrowth. We didn't say, but you're not allowed to actively plant, harvest, prune, all these halachot related to farming. But you're also, midrabanan, it's usher to eat produce that was grown on its own. Sometimes when you're collecting wheat, let's say, you'll drop some seeds and they'll grow on their own. So you think, oh, at least if they're grown on their own, I could eat those and treat them properly. The answer is no, they're asurim. Because we are afraid. Svichin, they're called svichin. Svichin, we are afraid that a farmer will incorrectly and on purpose grow fruit, grow vegetables. Take away the fruit. I'll remove fruit for a moment. You'll see why. Grow vegetables, grow something else, and we'll say, well, hey, you couldn't grow this on Shemitah. And he goes, oh, no. I didn't grow it. It happened by accident. It just grew on its own. We'll say, oh, okay. The Rabbanan say, we don't want to encourage farmers to be untruthful. And therefore, because we're afraid that they may grow them and benefit from them on Shemitah. And so therefore, we say Svichin or Aser. Everyone with me with Svichin? If you understand the reason behind Svichin, you'll realize why some produce have no Iser of Svichin. Let me explain quickly, and with this we will end. We didn't finish this part one. We're going to have to finish part one next time and finish part two, but let me explain. Don't get confused. We're going to explain in more detail next time, Be'ezrat Hashem. Svichin, we said, our produce that we are afraid were grown during Shemitah on purpose, and the farmer will say, untruthfully, that it was grown by accident, it was grown on its own. Well, there are some kinds of produce. A moment ago, I slipped up and I said fruit, and I said take away fruit. Fruit. If a farmer chose incorrectly, wrongly, to start growing an apple tree, well, we're never going to benefit from during Shemitah year. We're not going to benefit from the apple tree. You follow? The whole fear of Svichin is that a farmer will incorrectly grow, like he'll plant a cucumber bush? I don't know. Plant the cucumber, cucumber, and oh, a little while later, still during Shemitah, will come to me and say, hey, Here's some svichim, they grew on their own, when in reality, he really grew them on purpose. But there's no farmer in the world who's going to plant an apple tree in Shemitah and produce apples during Shemitah. Halavai, they should grow that fast. And produce Shemitah that, here's apples that grew on their own. And I'll say, nah, you grew them during Shemitah. What are you talking about? 3 months ago, I grew an apple tree? It's not possible. So there's no iser for in svichin by fruit, but there is by vegetables. So on the charts, for example, you will see that asparagus, no, that's a bad example, carrots. Let's go with a quick example, and then we're going to stop. Carrots are vegetables. We follow by the time they were picked. Already Rosh Hashanah time, I have to be concerned that a carrot that I buy may have Gushat Shvi'it. Rosh Hashanah, 5775. Svichim for carrots, when I have to start worrying about carrots growing on their own, happen in mid-Tevet. Still in the wintertime. Svichim don't end until Chanukah of the 8th year. But if I were to flip to fruit, there is no iser of svichin with fruit. So apples, I have to start being concerned with Kedushat Shvi'it. Don't memorize this. I didn't memorize this. At the end of Iyar, and until Sivan of the 8th year. The entire Shana Bet has Kedushat Shvi'it for apples. When is svichin aser for apples? It's a trick question. There are no svichin by apples. No one's going to grow an apple and then harvest it and say, here they are. Okay. We have to go through next time. I want to end with one idea. We have to go through next time relevant and practical examples. I want to share with you, though, if you've ever spoken with a Baal Tshuva, who's never really experienced a full halachic Shabbos or a full halachic 6 hours between meat and milk, they will ask you questions that you think are first grade questions. How do you remember when you finished eating meat? How do I remember the forks? What, you're telling me that you have two sets of forks? How are you supposed to remember which fork is milchik, which fork is fleishik? That's crazy. The answer we tell her or tell him is it does seem difficult, but you get used to it. And slowly, it's you can have a 7-year-old in your house who knows that you don't take a meat fork for a milk meal. It just comes naturally. But you could be 40 years old and not understand it. Similarly, the halachot of Tumah V'Tahara, you and I, only some remnants of Kedushat HaMishpacha, let's say, Taharat HaMishpacha, you know that, you know, we get used to when you're married, not when you're single. But I don't know, I don't even think twice before I shake somebody's hand. I don't have to worry about if he has, if he's Tameh or Tahor. I don't think about it. And I'm waiting, we all are waiting, for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And we're going to, in the beginning, it's going to be hard for you and me. Our children, it's going to come naturally. You're going to sit them down one day and you're going to say, children, you know that I remember a time when there was no Beit HaMikdash? They're going to think you're crazy and old. No, I remember. What are you talking about? I was in seminary when the Mikdash was built. I went through all of high school without a Beit HaMikdash. Really, Grandma? I can't believe it. They'll probably call you Savta, though. They'll probably call you Savta. Yeah, I was in high school. Whoa, you're really old. Are you sure you're thinking clearly? Yeah, I'm telling you, there was no Beit HaMikdash. So wait. So you don't even know about Tumah V'Tahara? I had no clue about it. I knew the halachot, sort of. You're going to get there. Shemitah is the same way. I just threw a lot of very black and white facts. And to some of you, it's so esoteric. And how am I supposed to, in a heartbeat, it's going to become second nature to you. Just like it became second nature as soon as you got here. Trumot, Masrot, we're not used to it. And now we are, we come here. So even if your head is spinning a little bit, give it time, patience. Hopefully part 2 and part 3 will make it a little clearer with practical examples, and we should be zoche bezat Hashem this year to experience a year of Shemitah, and of course, a year of Kedushah. Have a good evening, everybody. Amen.